listening to Trailer Pod Boys, the podcast dedicated entirely to the Canadian TV series Trailer Park Boys.
What if he's given a kitchen, like, maybe, you know, Lucy's kitchen or something like that? What can he actually do?
Bacon grease and bread ends. That's what he does. We've seen it.
And now, here are your hosts for this episode of Trailer Pod Boys, Matt, David, and Quint.
Welcome to Trailer Pod Boys. This is episode 59 and the third in the miniseries covering the SwearNet material. I am Matt, and joining me once again, as usual, are Quint.
Hello.
And Dave.
Yo.
All right, before we get started, let's get to what will be undoubtedly the highlight of this episode and discuss what we're drinking.
Why not?
All right, I'll go first. What the hell? This time, after the disappointing three Sam Adams in a row, I made a concerted effort to get to the liquor store tonight, and I got a beer from Denmark, from Amager Brewery, and it's from their Sinner series, and I got the line called Lust, with a hot anime chick bathing in a giant pool of beer as the label. So I don't care what it tastes like.
Nice.
Right. Just lick the label, if nothing else, right?
I just set the beer right next to the label, and it's all fine. It's a really dark, like, brown ale, even though it did say a Belgian mixed or a Belgian flavored dark ale, and I was like, ooh, last time we talked about Belgian, I didn't like it, but this one I did taste it while we were talking here, and it does have that hints of the characteristics of a Belgian that I don't like, but it's stronger taste is like a dark, almost red lager taste. So I'll get through it. Like I said, I'm setting it right next down with the label pointed towards me, so it's fine every time I set it down.
Is that thumping we hear under your desk?
No, it's right over the desk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I am drinking a red wine, of course. This one is a Syrah from down in Paso Robles from a place called Fuck Them. It's weird. Their place is called Clotary, I think is how they say it. And it looks like a really French spelling. And so, but it looks really hard to say in French. And so I'm like, I'm avoiding saying it at all until somebody told me it was just the two guys, or the guy and the girl who run the place's names mashed together. And I'm like, oh, all right then. Great. It's Claude and Terry. Fine. Clotary.
This is the highlight. That's really funny.
Yeah, but they have the really good wine, and that was the place that I poured Dave the white port style wine that I found there that finishes like scotch. It's really cool.
Right.
And they also have a room on the side where they have like all kinds of hats and wigs that you can just randomly try on and take pictures with. So it's kind of a funky, cool place to go to, and they have good wine. So, yeah. Fun little side trip that I took last weekend in Paso.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And I am drinking a 2013 Strato Chenin Blanc. So this is one of the wines that I got with the first shipment from my wine club, which is Lot 18. And it says on the back, it says bottled exclusively for Lot 18. They're like an online wine distributor or something. Anyway, I actually opened it last night and had a glass, and I was like, it's that sort of wispy, acidic Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc kind of feel to it, but it's okay. Then I had some tonight, and it was like, huh, it's actually growing on me. So it has some body to it, some flavor. So I think, you know, it'll do.
Might have helped being out for an afternoon or anything, too.
I was just going to ask, exactly. Is having it, like, I guess, breathe in a sense all that time have anything to do with it, maybe?
That could absolutely be the case.
Okay. Yeah, that can often take the acidic edge off of whites, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, all right. On to the main content. After two pretty decent episodes of material covering the SwearNet, I knew we were going to run into some stuff we didn't like. I didn't know.
So you packed it all into one episode.
You know what? I will tell you, I'm going to tell you this right now. When I got to the second half of what we're covering, the last two series that we covered, I think I don't think I intended to put these two together. I think I either confused this with another series, or I was like setting things, you know, how I kind of move stuff around in a spreadsheet and forgot to move it back, because I would have not put these two together because I had seen all this as I was putting it together. So I think this was either a mistake in name of the series or something I didn't go back and fix. But what we're covering in this episode is we got four things, really three series, and then one little ad in a sense. But we have Guitar Lessons with Bubbles, a little bit about Swearin' at the Movie, Trailer Park Boys on the Road with the Trailer Park Boys, and the Real Fucking Reality Show. So starting with Guitar Lessons with Bubbles, I do have the theme song because I did at least like that. So let me play that.
I was hoping you got that.
Okay.
Guitar Lessons with Bubbles.
Only because of that last part.
Exactly.
Every time, yep.
Boom, fuck.
Now, here's another story. You know, there's going to be a lot of stories in this because I don't have much to say about many of these episodes. But I had gone, this is one of the first things I saw, knowing this was coming up well before we even started recording, I had run to Guitar Center and got some new strings for my acoustic electric guitar, and I got picks, which is... I hate fucking buying guitar shit at Guitar Center. I will buy microphones there all day long because I know what to ask. I know what to talk about. They ask me a question. I just pick up a pack of strings and they inevitably ask me 17 questions that I don't have the answers to. I feel like a fucking idiot every time I buy anything guitar related, but I bit the bullet because I was going to follow these lessons along with these lessons. Let me tell you this. Bubbles is a shit teacher. Because
They are not actually lessons. They're just... You know, performances.
Yep, pretty much. In fact, not pretty much. You hit the nail on the head. Although, what they are.
I got to say, the third one was closer. At least it had, you know, the chords, his hands, and the rest.
Yeah, so you could see what he was playing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was I think that's the one I wanted to learn. No, I wanted to learn the second one really bad. Liquor and Whores.
Okay. Right.
But no, I couldn't follow that too much. I think did they put the tabs up on that? It doesn't matter. I didn't learn a damn thing.
Put the tabs up on it, but then they kept doing close-ups of his face.
Yeah, right.
So you couldn't see him playing at all. But back to the first one, Closer to the Heart, which is what we were talking about. Oh, my God.
That was like, I picked up the guitar and I was like, I hit start and I'm lost. It's like,
Yeah.
That's where he was talking about.
But it's what Quint and I were talking about with the Ding Dongers.
Neil Peart's Ding Dongers.
Okay.
There's a part in the song where Neil Peart does something on some part of the drums that's high-pitched.
Okay.
And he's like, this is what Neil does on the Ding Dongers, but you can play this way on the guitar. Yeah.
He uses the bells, right?
I don't know. I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Yeah. And that was where we got Ding Dongers from.
Okay. Now
which
makes sense.
Which was the only thing that I wrote from the only note I took from Closer to the Heart episode was Ding Dongers! Because I just loved the way Bubbles said it.
Yeah, the other note I had on Closer to the Heart was that he used Conky's voice for singing it.
Yeah. That's funny. The only note I have outside of what you guys said was, do that. Got it? I was like, that's some good lesson.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing after watching Mike Smith be, you know, himself out of character for however long we've been doing this, the last three episodes.
Right.
Seeing him back in Bubbles' character with the glasses on and his mouth all screwed up. I'm like, man, that looks painful. Like, see the difference between him and regular Mike Smith. I'm like, that must suck to just do that all day. Oh,
well, I know we touched on this when we were doing this show before, and you know we touched on how much Mike Smith must suffer going through this. But you're right. Now that we've seen him normal for a while and then see this, it's just like, wow. And
yeah, it just brought it all into, you know, focus.
And the other thing that I was thinking about, because I was thinking about the same thing, was like, not only did he do this for the show, at that time, they were doing everything in character. Every performance they were doing, every live place they would go, every place that anyone saw them in public, they were in character. And it was just like, wow, that guy must have been in a lot of pain a lot of times.
That stuck out to me this viewing of these series as well. I had forgotten how much they had to do this. I guess it's probably not till we get to the trailer, the on the road part, that I recalled what you just said, that they used to always be out in public as characters. So, yeah, I forgot. I'm trying to agree with you and find something else to talk about other than chords, because I hate chords. That's the other fucking thing. This whole lesson is chords. I hate chords.
Yeah. Yep.
Although,
there was this bit to Closer to the Heart where there's a little like do-do-do or whatever. And I saw him do it a couple of times, but I couldn't see it exactly. And then they kept close up on his face. I'm like, wait a second. What's that part? I mean, you're just showing me chords. Tell me right. How to do that a little bit. What note is he changing there?
I think that's where he did the do that or see that, do that. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll just do that. Whatever the hell that was.
Great.
And the one place where he's like, so that's pretty much all you need to do. You'll see me lifting fingers and doing fun stuff. And that's just kind of like, you can fire out and do that. And I'm like, yeah. What?
Come on.
Really?
I need the elementaries first. I need the building blocks.
I got to say, the background on the third episode, the kitties are so nice one.
That's what I ended up watching. Yeah.
The cat looked like Sif with a bottle. It really did.
Totally. And since
my cat Sif is an alcoholic, it makes complete sense, right?
Yeah. So I will learn liquor and horrors, though. I do want to learn that.
I didn't realize you were still playing.
I didn't. That's why I had to go buy strings, because I tried to tune my guitar and it stayed in tune like 6 seconds because the strings were so damn stretched out.
I didn't even realize you still had a guitar.
Yeah, I have one. I have I have it as Tallman acoustic electric I bought years ago. Yeah, I think in my old house too, so I've had it for over a decade. Cool. But I do want to learn Liquor and Horrors, and then I'll put it away again for another 15 years.
Yeah. Oh, man, no. If you learn Liquor and Horrors, you just keep it out, and like anytime anybody comes over, just kind of like pick it up and strum out Liquor and Horrors for them.
I was thinking it would be good in my entertainment repertoire for the next homeowners meeting picnic.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah. So this is what I did on my vacation. Yeah. Liquor and Horrors.
Well, that's okay, so... Closer to the Heart, Liquor and Whores, Kitties Are So Nice, are the three songs. Four songs. It's not even a lesson at this point.
No.
Right. They've given up on the whole lesson thing.
It's a Christmas video for Dear Santa, Go Fuck Yourself, which is...
It's a lesson for Santa Claus. It really is.
I guess. I mean, at first I was excited. I was like, oh, good. At least I have a good copy of the song. And I'm like, wait a minute. I bought this song for like two Christmas specials ago, so I have it directly from iTunes. I can't really get a better copy than that. So that was useless to me, but I ended up watching. That reminded me of, what did we talk about? What was the shows we can't make yet? The Fucked on Pills or something, where the background video was really the entertainment of this thing.
And all I saw in this thing too was the same thing. It's like, oh, this is how much shit can we cram on a green screen?
That's exactly what that was. Yeah.
A poorly lit green screen, by the way.
Oh, terrible.
No, as we see in maybe this one or real fucking reality show, their first green screen, they had about 7 inches to work with, so they were getting all kinds of spill from that screen. Yeah. There was no avoiding it.
Yeah, well, I'll touch on the green screen stuff all the way through this. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If by funny, you mean fucked.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of fucked, and this is a note I wrote on later on, but Mike Smith uses the word fucked, and I assume they all use it this way, to mean both good and bad.
Yes.
Okay, so that I didn't quite get until this watching, because it was like he was calling Randy's or Pat's extreme weather videos fucked in that they're good, but Pat is fucked in that he's an idiot. Like,
right.
Like, yeah. Wait, what?
That's fucked, Dave.
Yeah.
Whichever way you take that, I don't even know.
So, did we ever find out whether Bubbles was his birth name or was it just a nickname at an early age?
The character?
Yeah, the character.
I remember him telling a story about how he used to... When he was a little guy, he used to blow, like, spit bubbles.
And he had that bubble machine.
Yeah, so I'm assuming he must have been named, at the time of his birth, and then got that as a nickname. But that's the best I can give you as an answer.
So that's something. Hey, they could address that in one of the new episodes.
They might. Who knows?
Yeah.
Anything else on these guitar lessons?
I have nothing else on these guitar lessons.
Nope.
I learned nothing, and I wanted to.
The highlight of the guitar lessons was Bubbles saying fuck after every intro.
Guitar lessons with Bubbles.
Bingo.
All right, moving on. The Swearing at the Movie announcement. All we really found out is when the about the fan screening of Swearing at and Mike Smith was hammered and having fun with a stud finder.
Right, and the stud finder must have had a green label on it.
Either had a green label on it or a or a metallic label that was reflecting the spill. That's what I was thinking. It had to be either or.
Yeah, yeah.
So all I have to say about this is that of everybody that I've ever seen on Trailer Park Boys anywhere, Mike Smith as Mike Smith does the worst drunk acting. It is the least believable drunk. When he's Bubbles and he acts drunk, I buy it. When he was acting drunk in this one, I wasn't buying it.
Interesting. I actually was I thought that he might have been really drunk.
Oh. Huh. Okay.
Maybe I'm just not used to Mike Smith as himself yet.
Yeah, I didn't think I had enough. I guess maybe I didn't have enough to base it on, or maybe it was the fact that after 30 seconds and this bit going nowhere, I didn't care anymore.
You don't care, right?
Right. I don't know. This one looked like the worst fake drunk I'd seen in a while. Okay, and maybe that is because he was actually drunk. Who knows?
That could be.
You could be right.
It's like when you watch a Rocky marathon and then you think you love boxing and you watch real boxing and you're like, what the fuck is this shit?
This is stupid.
I don't know. I've never had the brain damage to watch a Rocky marathon.
Okay, trying to think. I
understand other stuff. What you're saying, but I think watching a Rocky marathon would give me brain damage.
Yeah, the first two movies are really good, actually.
do not a marathon make.
No, that's true.
I just think of Sunny in Philadelphia. Rocky IV, it's got Rocky and a Russian, and he beats a Russian. It's the best movie ever made.
Yeah. I've seen the end of Rocky IV, and that was amazingly bad.
That's the
Russian. I haven't seen 3 yet, I don't think.
3's good. That's
the Mr. T one. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything 5 or 6 or Balboa or whatever the fuck else they have.
I saw Balboa and wasn't disappointed, but my expectations were so low that that's not giving it any compliment whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, what is it now with more calcified joints or what?
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Anyway,
the other thing that I thought was humorous in this announcement was that Julian was holding his can of microwavable Campbell's soup.
Yeah, I know. Rum and Coke. I was like, has he got a cold or what? Is he not feeling good?
Yeah, but he has another one of those later on in another episode.
Yeah.
So I think that's like his normal snack or whatever. But I just feel like, does he just always have to hold a can or a glass of something in his hand?
Maybe,
you know, his thing?
I can't.
Does he have like Bob Dole hand or something?
I can't say much about those, having those soups on hand, because I actually have a drawer semi-full of those when I don't have time for lunch. I throw that in the microwave, so I understand the convenience of them. I can't make fun of them too much about it. But the Bob Dole hand,
he doesn't have to hold it throughout the whole announcement.
No, that is strange. Unless they're getting subtly paid by Campbell's somehow.
Yeah,
I don't buy that.
I said unless. I didn't say I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else about that?
No.
Good. Okay. Now, on the road with the Trailer Park Boys, this wasn't so bad. I kind of made it sound like I was going to dread everything on here, but there were some moments on here I thought. Maybe not worth watching 13 segments of it, but there were some moments.
There were a couple moments. And just real quick, I wanted to go. I did notice one note I wanted to jump back real fast.
Okay.
At the end of the SwearNet announcement, one of them goes, and cut. And I just thought of
Oh, man, they stole my bit.
Yep. Yeah.
Damn. But I didn't even get like fucking credit or anything. Shit.
So, all right, the first segment they do, and the first notes I have is about their visit to Mall of America.
Right.
Which, Randy's with him with no shirt, which you're kind of going to see what's coming when that starts. But I still enjoy some of the moments getting to that point.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely saw the whole getting thrown out coming.
Yeah.
But it was cool, like, when people would recognize them, that when that one waitress was all fawning.
Oh, that was, yeah. Like,
oh, that's kind of cool.
It is cool.
Yeah. I was amazed at how, throughout this entire bit, I was amazed at how they were able to maintain their level of assholeness, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, and at the same time, like, totally take pictures with their fans, treat their fans really, really well, say hi, do whatever. It was just like that level, that mix of stuff was just amazing. It was really cool.
That's funny. I have almost exactly what you said written in my notes about how they can, still be their characters, yet not actually insult or...
Except the guy that Ricky wanted to keep fighting because he was in his court clothes.
His court clothes, yeah. Well, I don't think that guy actually existed.
Yeah.
I know. We never saw him. That was weird.
I don't think he existed. I agree with you, Quinn, and I had the exact same note. They managed to stay in character and interact with people, but still not, I don't know what, insult them or offend them, but still, like, just be, themselves.
Even the Ricky's bit with the big cocks. Like that was just...
That was actually funny.
It was really funny.
Big cocks, boys.
Big cocks. Yeah, big cocks, boys. It just, like, that was a great bit where, you know, he was still just being a total dick, but fans were eating it up and had no... Yeah, it was pretty masterful that way. I think they do a really good job.
The only note... Let's see, that we haven't covered that I have on here for some reason is that there's a Peep store in the Mall of America. I don't know why I wrote that down. I guess because I've never seen one before.
Yeah, I mean, how can you have an entire store that just sells Peeps? There's one product.
Right, yeah.
Well, we've got an entire store that sells Jelly Bellies.
There's one of those here too, and an M&M store.
Okay.
Yeah. And really, Jelly Bellies is one product.
But I this is personal preference, but I could fucking eat, I could buy the shit out of an M&M store, but I don't eat Peeps at all.
Yeah.
I just don't get that.
Are Peeps actually supposed to be eaten?
Yeah, you buy them once for decoration and you have them the rest of your life.
You put them in the microwave and explode them, right?
Well, yeah. Like you either burn them or you put them in the microwave and explode them, or you there's tons of stuff you can do with Peeps that don't actually involve eating them. I didn't realize people bought them to actually consume them.
It's true. Some people actually do eat them. I don't understand it either.
I think I had... It was either this Easter or last Easter. I can't quite remember. It's the first one I've had in like 20 years, and I was just like, I can wait another 20 years to have another one.
Yeah.
It was like the never-ending chew fest in my mouth. I'm like, sometime this is going to break down, I think.
And to me, it's just like the logical extension of marshmallows, which I find... completely unappealing. It's like,
oh yeah, okay, well, know, that's a terrible base
standard.
I already
don't like marshmallows.
And I like marshmallows when you're roasting them. If you can get them really nice and black, then they taste good.
I like them just on the edge of, like, this is how much we enjoyed this content this week, apparently. But I was gonna say, I like
Let's
them
get
on
into
like
the finer points of roasting marshmallows.
I like pulling a marshmallow right out before it starts to turn black. Golden time for me. I have no fucking idea what word I was looking for there.
It's just you just get a little hint of char in there, but not all of it.
Yep.
Let's see. What
either
else
you guys ever been to the Mall of America?
No,
me neither.
I'm not.
And considering we base our vacations more or less off of visiting unique thrill rides and whatnot, I'm surprised we never made it out there yet. We probably will sometime.
It's a freaking mall in the middle of nowhere, America.
That's the thing. There's like, yeah,
one
usually,
ride, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do say we kind of center them around theme parks, but we also make sure of other stuff to do after you're done that day.
If you want to do something like that, I would say skip Mall of America and go to the West Edmonton Mall. Not only does the West Edmonton Mall have roller coasters, it has like an entire theme park inside of it.
Oh, okay.
And it also has this giant wave pool that you can go with, this whole water park, water slides, all that shit going with it.
I think I've seen this on Travel Channel or something. That's cool.
It's actually really, I mean, if you can't spend a couple of days at West Ed Mall and not get bored, you're a boring person.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Last note I have before we move on to the next sightseeing tour was that Ricky pulled one of the classic, I'm with a official, I'm here on official business, and this time he was with the Canadian Association for Malls.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. We haven't heard that in a long time.
No. And the poor Maldick. I mean, you know, the guy
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'll tell you after.
The guy that has to say, "Okay, you guys, you got to get out of here. You can't film in here, and you can't have this dude's gut in here. Come on."
I don't know why when I saw the mall cop, I thought it was a woman until he spoke.
Oh,
really?
I don't know why. It just was. That's funny. I guess I just wasn't paying that much attention, or I don't know. Maybe he's very curvaceous. I don't recall. I have to go back and look. But I remember when I heard his voice going, "What the fuck? Oh shit, that's a dude." Mm-hmm.
So, now, and here's the thing: there's this weird thing about laws around videotaping. You know, and granted, it's not a law so much as it's private property, and they make their own rules in a mall. But everybody has a video camera in their pocket now.
Yeah, no,
you can't really stop it anymore.
Yeah. Which, that's a whole nother discussion, and I need more alcohol before I have that one.
Yeah.
So, okay, next sightseeing tour, and probably, I think, looking at my notes and my soundboard, probably the highlight of this segment is their trip to the John Hancock Building in Chicago.
Yep.
Yeah. And which took two episodes to cover.
What's that?
It took two episodes to cover.
Took two episodes. Yes, it did. Yes.
And the last episode, while it had big cocks in it, half of it was just this poorly lit crap that they were actually filming on top of the Hancock Tower, and it was just terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I laughed at some of it.
Okay, I laughed at a couple things, but okay.
Definitely it was like slim pickings, but I liked Ricky was like, "Is that real?" Yes, Ricky, that is a window we're looking out of.
Well, my first Ricky quote and the first clip I have from this whole series I thought was awesome. Let me play you this quick just to get your opinions.
"We're really stupid and we're from Canada and we're trying to get up to the place where it's high up."
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
I thought that was good.
And then his thing about, what do you call it when you're afraid of being up high?
Yeah.
"I'm afraid of highs." Well, not all highs. I mean, there's a lot of highs that I really like, but the one with heights, I really hate that high.
Now, I will give probably the best bit out of all this in this whole series goes to Mike Smith, or Bubbles, rather, I guess in this case, where he's told in line to turn his camera off, which he does, which is quickly followed with,
"Oh, look at that, it turned back on by accident."
"Bubs, they said you got to turn that fucking thing off."
"Well, I did. It turned back on. Not my fault."
Yeah.
I like that.
The conky laugh in there made it.
Yeah.
Plus the fact that he had it on up at the top, which was great because, I mean, if you're not allowed video cameras up there, that's probably one of the few shots we'll ever see of that view, you know?
Right.
Which I don't understand. But,
I know.
That's another conversation.
Again.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably perfectly fine to take your camera phone up there, which now everyone is 1080p, but you can't take a GoPro because it's why,
also,
you know?
1080p.
Yeah, but because it's on a stick? Is that the only reason you can take it?
It's on a stick with a little Rode mic on it.
All right, well, I mean, if we're not all agreed that it was all that good, the only other thing I wanted to play was Ricky's first reaction to the site, and then we can move on, which was...
"So what is that, North America?"
Yeah, that was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially the follow-up with Bubbles explaining to him, well, actually, yeah, it is North America.
That's true, looking, yeah.
But it keeps going. We'd have to be a lot higher to see all of it.
But you didn't laugh at Randy's poses in front of the window?
That was okay. His gut in 3D.
Yeah, well, the gut in 3D was kind of like, eh. But the pose in front of the window was pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say it was... great.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already seen Pat Roach funnier and other stuff.
Yeah.
And actually, I hate to say this, I prefer Pat Roach over Randy at this point.
But I think that the reason I prefer Pat Roach over Randy for these segments is that Randy is just kind of a really weird character to have in these segments because
it is.
He's not somebody that would be with them in these situations. So he's really out of context and really no Leahy, no conflict other than the stupid stuff. And I don't know that I prefer Pat Roach over Randy until I see Randy again. Yeah.
That is, you're 100% right. I can't argue that. And the joke, and this goes on. This starts here. I mean, this starts here as far as our coverage. I don't know where it comes in chronologically in the whole SwearNet world. But the thing of the thing of his smell goes on and on on the stuff we watched. And I never liked that when they did that in Say Goodnight to the Bad Guys. I thought that was like a new aspect of his character that wasn't all that funny and that necessary. And they're carrying it into this, and it just didn't work for me.
Some of it worked for me in the later episodes, but it's not as fun as when he was the greasy guy or the
Exactly.
That kind of stuff.
I guess, so, yeah, maybe it was one too many for me. It's like this guy can be only so many gross things before you just make him a gross character, which he wasn't up until the last season. But we'll see what the new season brings. I gotta remember this is all pre-new real Trailer Park Boys, so I don't want to judge it too harshly.
Yeah.
Even though I apparently already just did.
There was one other. Is this the one? I'm trying to think. This is where they had to hide the camera, right? And where the camera was at a really, really convenient angle, pointing at Ricky's ass. And when he farted. That was a good gag because I was kind of getting tired of the hidden shaky cam thing. And then they just threw in this great gag. And I was like, oh, that's good. I like that. That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, because it was obviously unscripted.
Yeah. Or good Foley work later.
Well, that one too. I did like the line ass and pea soup, though. I'll probably use that sometime in the future. You have to watch that to see what that's about. London, England. It moved to London, England. And this caught my attention because I was like, ooh, I'm going to make – this is a perfect little NeoZaz event I can make up and put on a website, and I'll make the Trailer Park Boys tour. But then I watched what they did and not so much because we didn't see them really go anywhere.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing about the this whole segment, where they're on the road and the Real Fucking Reality Show, none of it really goes anywhere.
Yeah.
They don't really do anything.
Yeah. This one was Ricky's interpretation of the name of the palace was pretty brilliant in this one.
I love that.
I do that have that. Awesome. Okay, I did pull that. So let me play this clip.
Let's get some cheese. Well, I thought, based on the name, is Buckingham's. It's people riding around on pigs.
Is that the one you're talking about?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
That was a hard one to pull because everyone was talking at once, but yeah, you got the gist of it.
And it keeps coming up because he just doesn't get it. And like later on, like, you know, several episodes later when we get back to London and they're there at Buckingham Palace, and he's like, so when does the rodeo start?
Yep.
Is that later? That's not the next episode, is it?
No, it's actually way later.
Okay. Oh, God, we got so much more to go through very quickly.
We can start getting through some of this quicker.
I know. We see Randy's room on the bus, which is the only reason I noted that is because there's Bubbles is like, he got some nice stuff. There's air. Okay.
Yeah.
So the thing that at least struck me about the stuff that they're doing in London and in Glasgow. And Glasgow's the one where they actually put Randy in the luggage compartment.
Right.
It's the lime.
But is that these bits seem thought out ahead of time and scripted somewhat, whereas all the previous stuff seemed just ad-libbed. Mm. And so it seemed actually a little bit funnier to me, this stuff, because they kind of knew what they were doing. And they had a cameraman, so Bubbles wasn't holding the camera on the stick.
You know, I think at this point I am zipping through it to get notes on down, and I'm not really paying that kind of attention to it, I hate to say.
Yeah.
So you would definitely probably have an eye for that. I didn't even notice that Bubbles wasn't filming on a GoPro, so yeah, I can't disagree with that. You're probably right.
And in fact, it really lost me
at this point, I'll be honest.
Yeah. And of course, When the story loses me, I focus on the technical.
Oh, aspect, okay. Right? Gotcha.
In the London one, when we start off, we got a whole 15 minutes. We have a whole several minutes on the tour bus before they even exit the tour bus.
Okay.
Yep. And Randy comes in and sits down. There's a cutaway shot of a down low angle up so that you can see Randy's gut in the foreground and Julian looking disgustedly at him in the background. And it's like, and then it cuts back to the wide and you're like, okay, if that actually happened, I would see the cameraman shooting that low angle shot in this wide. Mm. So they obviously like did the whole wide and then went back and did that cutaway just to put it in there, you know? So they're actually, they thought about it, they scripted it, and then they went and did different shots about it. So it's more like the Trailer Park Boys.
Okay. Yeah.
It's fake reality now.
Yep.
Oh man. I just got random fucking notes. I don't even know what they mean at this point. Backstage beer nose chug. What the fuck was that?
Okay. Oh yeah.
So before we get there, there's one other one, which is Randy's gut double.
The idea was funny.
The idea was funny. And the rest of it was just kind of,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah,
it's food fight, little this, yeah. But it was good enough.
Yeah, and John Dunsworth is there.
Yes,
it right. Doesn't he's just say a in the word background. On camera. That nope. was yeah. that was disappointing. I was like, here we go, finally some John Dunsworth, and nothing yet. So we're gonna have to wait until his show comes up, I guess.
I guess I wonder if and the point you made earlier about how the Randy character would not be with these guys, and Randy is kind of lost without Leahy.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically they're a pair, they're a unit, and so. For some reason, John Dunsworth didn't want to be in this part of it or whatever. And so it leaves Randy to tag along with the boys and they just get to pick on him all the time.
Yeah. Right.
And the nostril chug thing, the only note I have on that episode is don't know these fucks, don't care to.
Don't care to. Yeah. I mean, geez. Yeah.
So they're a heavy metal band from the 70s called Anvil. And there was a documentary that came out about them a couple of years ago. And I read about the documentary and I thought, oh, and people really love the documentary. I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I'm not going to watch it. And that's all I know about it. So when they came in and said, hey, it's the guys from Anvil. I was like, oh, okay. That's who they are. Okay. So that's the only reason I've heard of them.
Did you not hear or understand the last part of the last sentence I said?
Right. Possibly not.
Okay.
What did you say?
I said, I don't know these fucks and don't care to. And then you kept talking. Anyway.
Oh. My problem was that...
I'm sorry, Quint.
My problem
I wasn't
was
talking to you. I was talking to our audience.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, well, hopefully we have one.
The nose chug...
I don't care what you say, so, you know.
No, and now that is the audience, which is ironic, since that's who you're talking to.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It was the build up to the nose chug, and then it ended up being like a sip of beer by the time he pulled the glass away. I'm like, well, that was a build up to nothing.
Right.
He's chugging for like 10 minutes and you see his like throat's working and he's doing this stuff and then he pulls the bottle away and none of it's gone.
I know.
What the hell?
Like, for some reason it looked like there was more in it. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
I think dude just was epic fail on that one. I think it's a shtick that he does and just epically failed trying to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can, it's possible you can do that because I think you're right. Your nasal cavity does connect to your throat in some way, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you might be able to do that. And maybe he can actually chug a beer, but
he didn't. He didn't in this clip. Nope. What else we got here? Oh, Pittsburgh.
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 Which this is a good man. This is a good Ricky line. This is Ricky. Ricky makes sense in this line. I think I got it. Here I do. Here we go. He's talking. This is all is built up from the discussion of how the word Pittsburgh is actually spelled.
Who the fuck invented all these stupid words with silent letters? Like, here's an idea. How about you just don't put the fucking letter in the word?
I like that theory.
Oh yeah,
it makes spelling for me much easier.
And Bubbles really didn't have a rebuttal at that point. He's like,
you got a point. You know, here's the worst part about it. I grew up in Pennsylvania. Watching this clip, I was like, wait, Pittsburgh has an H on it?
I know. I had to
I could have sworn it didn't.
Double check too. I was like, really?
Because I think there's a Pittsburgh out here in California that does not have an H on the end. And so I might have gotten used to that.
You know what? And this is going to sound really, really terrible because I really don't give a fuck about Pittsburgh. The only thing that I had to check was, Christ, I have seen the Pittsburgh Penguins logo so many times and I never noticed the H.
Yeah.
Wow.
So not only is it a silent H, it's an invisible H.
Yeah.
Because none of us knew it was there.
I like that.
And there was one of the fans gave Pat the cake.
There we go. This was another cool thing. That was pretty neat.
Yeah, and I love there was a line from, because Ricky is totally incredulous. He couldn't believe it was a cake because it was all covered in fondant and whatever.
Right.
And he goes, "None of the cakes I ever make look like this." And I'm like, "How many cakes have you made?
I know, right?
Like, you can barely make chicken fingers. How are you baking? Baking is hard."
Well, that's an interesting thought. But the way I look at it is like, dude can make a lot of okay crap food on the hood of his car. What if he's given a kitchen like maybe, you know, Lucy's Kitchen or something like that? What can he actually do?
Bacon grease and bread ends. That's what he does. We've seen it.
That's right. Yeah, never mind. Shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, granted, maybe he just gets like a Betty Crocker cake mix thing and throws it in whatever and throws the eggs and milk in. Just about anybody can do that.
Canada has the Betty Crocker ones where you just have to add water, pour it in the pan, and put it in the oven.
Nice.
I
might have that too. It's been a long time since I've looked.
I have another Sunny in Philadelphia reference. You ever see the one where they play some kind of game they made up and Frank had to do a penalty and he had to eat a cake? He's like, "That doesn't sound so bad." They're like, "No, you have to eat everything that goes into a cake one by one."
Oh, is that game where he was in the cage for a while? Yeah.
Oh my God. Eat everything that goes into a cake one by one. Yep. Wow. Can I have the milk last, please? Right.
The butter, the eggs, flour.
See, the eggs are no problem. I can get those. The flour would be hard to choke through.
Flour's rough.
Yeah.
Oh, Return of Alex Lifeson's in here somewhere. I have that noted.
Let's see. After the cold cake, we go to the aquarium.
Right, the aquarium.
Yeah, the aquarium. Yeah.
Which was it was fine. It was funny to see Ricky crawl through the kids' crawl space or whatever, and then pet the little shark. But otherwise, it was meh.
One of my favorite Ricky lines was in this one, which is that the fish talking?
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, but anyway, I was kind of amused with Ricky being kind of genuinely interested and like it's the first time we really see Ricky in character being interested in something even close to like a STEM field that I wouldn't expect Ricky to be interested.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah,
you know? Right, because he wants to punch a shark.
Well, there's that, but. But when he gets into it, it's like he actually does get into it a bit. Anyway, I thought it was cool.
Not bad. I think
he gets into it in as much as he wants to punch a shark.
Yeah.
I think for me, I just really lost interest after the tower for some reason. Although I couldn't stop watching the Buckingham Palace visit, but for a completely different reason.
Hmm.
It was because of the bad ADRs, like watching their mouths and listening, going, "None of this matches."
Yeah.
Whatsoever. Yeah. It drove me nuts.
I wrote down an. Oh, yeah. The Buckingham Palace stuff is all ADR. I did note that down.
And I was watching this going, well, there has to be a reason, because that's a lot of work. There has to be a reason they did this. And there wasn't any payoff. I have no notes about a big laugh here other than the note that swans are 8 feet long, and I don't even know why I wrote that.
No, there's no note. There's no payoff. There's no anything good there. The only vaguely interesting conversation there is about the Pope and the Queen.
Yeah.
No.
But, yeah.
That's a crazy amount of work for I don't know why.
Yeah, because Ricky can't eat with sticks.
Okay.
Gyoza!
Sorry, that was a callback to the sushi one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And called about right before London, they were in Halifax, and this is the one with Rush and Alex Lifeson.
Right.
And there's a whole story about how Ricky was trying to piss on the tour bus and
I forgot about that. I didn't put my notes. Yeah.
You know, that's all pretty good. It's like good, you know, TPB fodder.
Yep.
But there was a bit where Bubbles or Julian was talking about how Ray never taught Ricky how to piss correctly, and I was like, wait a second, is Ray gonna be in the new series? I haven't heard anything about that.
I don't know. But I mean, Ray had to have taught him how to use piss jugs.
I guess it's hard to mess up a piss jug.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I guess.
So, yeah. Then they, I know they're at LA at one point, but I was, that's right. My notes are bored.
That's
bored.
It. Yeah. And I just wrote question marks for LA because nothing happened.
No, the all the shit in LA is this lead up to some cooking show that they're going to be on.
Oh, Epic Mealtime, right?
Probably.
Oh, that's probably it.
Yeah, right. That's right. And we've all seen, I mean, that is the thing to see, and we've seen it for free because it's an Epic Mealtime episode, which is free on YouTube. So
that was
not necessary.
No. And I think it was just one of the lines that Ricky has in the real fucking reality show is, boys, what we really need is content. And I think that's kind of where that clip stemmed from.
Yeah.
We really need some content.
Yeah. That is all I got for that at this point.
So, yeah.
I mean, it really should have, for me, could have stopped at the Hancock Tower and I'd have a completely different opinion about it. I do say that's worth, the early stuff's worth watching, but it peters out after that, for me at least. And then going on to the real fucking reality show.
Oh, boy.
My
first note is that they're making a real reality show about the behind the scenes of a fake documentary show.
Yeah. And and the first thing is that I'm surprised Mike Smith didn't crash. Because he was driving his car and looking at the GoPro
straight in.
Wow. That was pretty some pretty epic filming and driving at the same time.
Yeah. The notes I have as highlights aren't really highlights as much as what to look for if you're looking for it, which is we get to see a tour of the original SwearNet, the first version of SwearNet, which is, I know, at least for me, from a interest in production standpoint, was nice to see. Mm-hmm. But, you know, does it make an entire, well, I guess it does make one episode, but so, I don't know.
But that's the thing is, like, if this reality show was trying to show the behind the scenes of SwearNet, they didn't actually show them doing anything.
Yeah, that is true. You know, yeah.
They were just like killing time. And it was like the fried on a ferry thing. Like we're just going to avoid work or we're going to screw around. We're going to yell at each other. And yeah, there was a couple of things where they're doing ADR. They're doing this and that and the other thing. We're recording Randy in front of a green screen, you know.
The stuff
that we'll get to, but it's like all of this stuff was like, there's not much happening.
Oh, this is I think is like a case of where Mike Smith intended to do one thing and ends up being another, because the first two or three, he kind of is trying to work out what to do as far as behind the scenes and a reality show type thing, but then it ends up just being an introduction piece for other segments, more or less.
Right.
Like Pat's first attempt at weather.
Yeah.
They talked about how we led into what we're about to see. The introduction for High Fuckers, which we are already seeing. The introduction for Fuck Off, I Have Sports to Do. It ends up being introduction pieces and no behind the scenes. It's just them at the table.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I do want to talk about Pat's weather, because that was something me and Quint really liked, and Dave, you liked to a certain extent, I think, if I remember correctly.
Right. And here's the thing where I think it's going to be really funny because of what Quint already said. So you guys really liked it the first time. And then Quint, you said you didn't like this version of it.
Well, it was okay. I guess it was just really kind of thrown because I liked the first version a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, and this is exactly what I said the last time, was that it would be funnier for me if he started to riff on different things, which he did. He was riffing on just different subjects that came up in the articles, and then they were throwing all these graphics up around him, and that to me kept it funny. Like, I thought this was better than the other ones.
I liked the way he started this one, just the kind of acknowledging that this was an internet show, and I have that clip because it actually made me one of the few times I laughed out loud on this, so let me play it and get your opinion on it.
Okay, so what's it gonna do today? I don't know. Where the fuck do you live?
I thought that was funny. All
right. Well, I mean, that's just, you're right. It's addressing the whole point is that A, it's an internet show. B, it's a local internet show.
Right.
You know, and it's not about a weather forecast. It's about him saying crazy shit about something.
That's right. Okay. Well, let me follow up with this clip because I think this clip will get a laugh. Now, this actually, apart from B, this is shit. I think I just did the exact same thing he does in this clip. So it might be even funnier now.
There's been talk, different storms. In fucking northwest fucking south. No. What the fucking is it, guys? There's been storms.
No? Okay.
Yeah, no, that gave me a chuckle.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Well, maybe at this point I'm struggling to find something. I don't know.
Right. Maybe it was that because all the behind the scenes stuff is terrible, but like the actual Pat Roach extreme weather clips where they were fully produced with videos and pictures put into the background and stuff like that, they were vaguely entertaining to me, more so than the original extreme weather.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
What did you think of Bernie?
You know what's weird? This is weird that you're asking
that's a
that.
Good question.
Because I remember watching this the first time and thinking, wow, this is actually, I really like this. I don't know what happened in the second viewing, but the second viewing is like, oh my God, this is not great. Which is, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why. Maybe it's something I can only watch once or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that could be. I was not a fan.
No, it.
He had a few good bits.
Oh, there was. It is not the worst thing in this by far. And
oh, no, and it's not even unwatchable.
No,
it's just at all. It's just like. And like I said, he had a few good bits, but a lot of it just came off really flat for me.
I think a big problem with this was I watched this where a lot of that news had just happened, like the Ray Emery fight for one, to me, being a Flyers fan. Now watching having watched it a week after the Stanley Cup is over, that probably didn't help it in this view.
Yeah, gotcha.
So I did really like it the first time. I didn't hate it by any means. Don't get me wrong. I didn't hate it. I didn't enjoy it as I did the first time. And it might be, I think for me, it was because of the timeliness of it. It was not an evergreen content for their show, which is always a problem with things that, you know, we're going to release that anyone can watch at any time.
Yeah, and me not being a sports fan at all.
Yeah, sure.
I was watching it going, my first impression was, wow, this is the highest production value of anything.
That's true.
Ever done by these guys ever, including Trailer Park Boys, the series and the movies, right?
Probably, yes.
Right. He's got the set up. It's got good lighting. He's got a decent camera. He's standing there. He's lit well, and he's probably got a lot of makeup on and he's just like talking to the camera and they've got the graphics going. It's like, wow, this is really produced well. And then I'm like, okay. Oh, and he might've had like one or two good, you know, kind of funny comments in the first couple of segments. And I was like, okay, he's not bad. And I was like, but I don't care. I have no idea who he's talking about. What's going on.
Right. Yeah.
Don't know any of these names.
Yep.
Don't care. And then I was totally bored.
Yep. Yeah, you got to know sports.
And then he went into the really cheesy, you know, fall flat comments that would suck even if you knew what he was talking about.
What else we got? We got Doug Barron returning as Steve Rogers playing Dirk, Rasmussen?
Something like that.
And he looks like he apparently just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
He was looking rough.
Yup.
That was okay.
And that was, I actually had to fast forward through that because all he was doing was reading
too,
the news.
I did too, to be honest. Yeah, exactly. And again,
and adding a couple of swear words here and there.
Yeah, not great. I think the highlight for this one is what's up next in my notes, and that's the ADR episode because I think it's one of the only few behind the scenes episodes they do.
Right.
Now, if they did more of this, it'd be great. It'd be a lot different.
Yeah.
Now, I really like this from a personal standpoint because I went through something real close to this in the last Star Wars and Character Christmas special where we had missed the recording of one of Chris's lines in the final song. We had to redo it over Skype, and he was just not getting the timing down. And I felt exactly like those guys did in this episode.
Yeah.
I can see that.
In fact, the... Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Dave.
I was just going to say, you know, at this point, we've seen them... out of character with Pat Roach out of character for a little while now, and they rip on him as much as they rip on Randy in the show, right? They just no respect. They put him down every possibility they can.
But I think he gives it back pretty good when he's not in character.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, I mean, he does, but at the same time, why would he keep working with them? You know,
well, I think,
and I wonder how much of the conflict is manufactured for this benefit.
I was going to say, I think it's another set of characters when those cameras are on.
I think so too.
I think we certainly slip into certain personas when the mics are on as well, that we're not necessarily when we're together and the mics are off. So I can understand that. Much more elaborate than ours, but I think that's what's happening here.
Yeah, I have to agree. I just wondered about that.
I think it's kind of like the same thing as you and I ripping on each other on this show about not caring about what the other person talks about. And, you know, we obviously would not spend as many nights drinking together
as we
do if we didn't care about what each other said. Right. So I think it's a lot of just that kind of stuff. And it's just, they need to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then when you get later on into the,
which is what I do for this show and you don't, is like,
is what make it entertaining.
Exactly.
I mean, when they get later on, when you know with the dick video stuff and whatnot, and then he's quitting and the apology and all that stuff, which we can talk about, like I just wondered how much of that was manufactured. I feel like a lot of
gotta think so, otherwise why would he, you're right, why would he stick around?
I did want to play a clip from that ADR episode because it summed up exactly what they were going through when I was going through with Chris, although I would never in a million years say, I would never say it to anyone that's taking time out of it, because what we do compared to what they do is not, it's apples to oranges. So I'm not going to yell at someone for getting their timing wrong on something they're volunteering their time on. But in my head, the exact same scenario is going on that I'm playing in this clip.
Beep, 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 say the fucking words. All right. Bullshit. Hey, this guy, he'd be great.
Are you fucking kidding me? How can you not count to four?
And the next thing that happens is Canada beats USA in hockey. Yes.
You know what? And that's fine too. But again, it goes back to the same type of thing that with Fuck Off I Have Sports to do. That's all and well, but that was months ago at this point. You know?
I know. But you know, months ago or not, taking an opportunity to rub that in is okay in my books.
And this was
all right.
And they were playing him in what? This was like some lead up to the Olympics or something? I'm not even clear.
It was the Olympics.
Oh, it was the Olympics. Yeah. Okay.
This wasn't gold, right? U.S. didn't make it that far, did they?
No, actually didn't.
Okay. Yeah, again, I'm glad I clarified that because that's recent fucking events. Why did I bother? I mean, I'm just doing the exact same thing they just did.
You're just helping me rub it in even deeper.
I guess so.
Because the U.S. actually didn't even medal.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So anyway.
We get to the we're not friends anymore now.
Yeah.
Which is
I have no notes. I have no notes at this point. Now, the last thing I have is just go ahead. You'll have to fill me in because I have Pat's Weather Try 3 and nothing after that.
Basically, the last bits here are all in that same vein where, you know, it's extreme weather's not going well. Pat wants to quit, blah, blah, blah. Boys want him to come back. And it's all extreme fucking weather related.
Right. Yeah. But it's not just, I mean, the point is that apparently Pat made a video of them with where he edited dicks going into their mouths. Right. They're all upset about it. Bubbles wants to get back about it. So he does the same thing to Pat on one of the extreme weather videos. Pat gets upset, threatens to quit unless he gets an apology, and yada, yada, yada. Like, I don't know if they ever – did they ever release the original video on SwearNet? Because I don't see that in any of our list of stuff.
No, the dicks going in and out of the mouths? Didn't see any of that, and I don't really need to.
It is somewhere, but it's, you know what I think is weird too. I think somewhere along here, shit is out of order. in the end of this reality show stuff. So, and I know, I know it is the, I'll tell you this, just so you get a frame of reference. It's at the very end. I think it's the very end of Pat's third try at weather. They said, okay, we need some shots for the ads. Now,
No, that's when they get back at Pat.
Okay.
The thing that I'm curious about is what he did to them. Like they're trying to, what Mike Smith is upset about that he wants to get revenge on Pat about.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're right. You know what it is? It is the, this is where it gets, some of this content gets funky. It's officially the first episode of their news and announcement series, but it's just a green screen test, and that's where this is. Now I see it down, I'm looking down a list of stuff we're yet to do.
Down there.
Yeah. So
I
this,
see.
Yep. It's like they were, I don't even know how to explain this, because this is all speculation from my part. I think this was a real fucking reality episode, but then they ended up sticking in the news and announcements category. So it's all been out of whack here. Okay, so.
I don't know what that means. It's
your son of a bitch.
I explained it the best I could, Siri. Sorry.
I'm so my hand at that time was about a foot and a half away from my phone. I have no idea what activated Siri.
That's all right. So yeah, that's all.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, they have this whole conflict and resolution with Pat Roach, and then that's it for, the real fucking reality show.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I have nothing else. I literally have no notes on this. I didn't even put any notes on Pat's weather, and I love Pat's weather. So
yeah, Pat's weather was good. But again, it was, I think this collection of stuff that we had was some of the weaker stuff.
It was a bad set of choices on my part. So I know
well,
this
is actually, the thing that was surprising to me was that the on the road stuff was as bad as it was, was as boring as it was.
Yeah. Because I think we managed to pick highlights out of everything. There's just, there's too much to go through to get to those highlights. So speaking from this position is so easy. I mean, I would pull a lot of this stuff and just leave the cold on there, but you know, that's, they need the contents up there. They're not going to shy away from it, I guess. But I do want to say, I mean, this has not been a positive episode. Now, we have done our best to pick the highlights. I still think, by and large, we're liking what we see on SwearNet. This has just been a really bad collection, and it's all bad choices on my part. So don't let this episode scare you away. We definitely, definitely love the stuff we talked about in the first two episodes, and there's more good stuff to come.
I've seen some of the stuff that's coming ahead, because I did a weird, I watched some stuff in weird order.
Yeah.
And there's some really good stuff coming up.
So there's, you know, with this much content, it's not all going to be great. And hopefully, with any luck, we got it all out in this episode. So hopefully we'll be a little more excited about what we see. So I'm just going to wrap it up. I am being apologetic to the content, because I think I made a bad choice in lumping these together, and I want to make sure this is clear. This is not what we feel about the entire SwearNet project. But with that, I'm ready to wrap up now, unless anyone else has anything to add.
Nope.
All right.
Sounds good.
All right. So, well, if you have anything to say for or against our opinions on this, share it on our Facebook page. That's at facebook.com/trailerpodboys. Or if you have any information to add or stories to share about what you're seeing on SwearNet or anything Trailer Park Boys related, please feel free to give us an email at tpb@neozaz.com. You can find all our future releases as well as all our past episodes at our website at trailerpodboys.neozaz.com. And visit neozaz.com for everything we do, which is becoming a larger catalog almost every month now at this point. So I think
they can also call us and swear at us, right?
Yeah, there is a number. It's on the website. I don't have it in front of me. So yes, visit the website I gave earlier if you want to leave us a voicemail. Thank you. I forgot about that in the last two episodes. So next episode, we'll continue with our coverage of SwearNet. Let's see what we got. We got, oh boy, we don't start off strong. We got the Skypes, these founding fuckers Skype sessions, some contests, news and announcements, and drunk as fuck. Now, I will say, I think we start Actually, this is the order you should go in. I think I put in the weakest leading into the strongest in the episode. So I think we're back to what the standard we set in the first two episodes in our next episode. But to find out, tune in then. So until then, I will say thank you, Dave, and thank you, Quint, for joining me. And thanks to everyone that's listening. And we'll see you in the next episode.
The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is a NeoZazz.com production and part of the NeoZazz.com Internet Entertainment Network. For more great shows and original entertainment, please visit our website at NeoZazz.com. The Trailer Pod Boys podcast is not endorsed by nor affiliated with TPB Productions or SwearNet, Inc. All Trailer Park Boys and SwearNet characters, situations, places, and events are copyright TPP Productions, SwearNet, Inc., or their respective trademark or copyright holders. For all the latest Trailer Pod Boys podcast news and releases, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/trailerpodboys.